Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Cloud Chat with Stefan and Matt. I'm one of your hosts, Stefan Stelter.
And I'm at Matt Brown. Happy holidays, Stefan. Can
Happy
you believe
holidays.
it's Christmas again? I feel
I
like we just did
cannot.
this.
I agree 100%. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to our listeners and viewers. This year has gone by in a blur.
It's
It's
gone
absolutely
by in
gone
a
by in a
blur,
blur.
and boy, has it been an active year. All kinds of new things. I have a couple of topics I'd like to run by you, and I'd like to hear your thoughts as well to close out this great holiday season. Top of mind for me is, hey, have you heard anything about this AI thing?
Oh, my stars.
I'd like to talk a little bit about
Ah,
that. And I'd like
yeah.
to talk a little bit about, not that this is supposed to be a product play, but how popular are capacity flashes for customers like us and for customers who are really trying to write cloud and really maximize the data centers they have in terms of space, power, cooling, the things to manage, and really gaining maximum efficiency. So those are two things that I'd like to chat about.
Oh,
Anything that comes
that's
to mind for you?
exciting. Well, those two topics are enormous in and of themselves, and they intersect where my brain was headed. I think the other piece, I suppose, is a little bit of sand storage is top of mind for me these days as well. It's starting with AI. I find myself, frankly, a little exhausted, and so I don't know where that puts us in the hype cycle. But I do think that we are in the place where AI is getting maybe more practical, or maybe an organization's approach to AI is getting more practical and less ephemeral, I think. Um,
I think
that's
that's a
that's
great
kind of
way to
my
put it. Yeah, everybody it was a buzz, right? It was
yes.
literally the buzzword of the last half of the year. But to your point, people are really starting to figure out where best to use it and really starting to get their hands a little bit dirty, understanding the practical use cases. And I think that's kind of like what I'd like to, I think we should explore here, because there's been a couple of
Yeah.
So I'm Stefan, as you know, I'm the ultimate skeptic. It's like, I hear things. I remember when these people started talking about cloud, and I think everybody in our business is like, okay, there's something there. How do you really define it to make it real for me or for our use cases? And AI was definitely in that space. And you see a lot of benefits. I think people were fear-mongering about it taking over the world. I mean, come on, my Alexa can barely even understand me half the time. And even though it's all programmed, she gets stuff wrong all the time. I'm not worried about that. But I think it poses a lot of interesting real-world applications, whether you're going to use it for coding. Really, it falls into the whole automation, to me, the automation or simplification realm. And one of the most clever ways I think I've seen so far that we've deployed AI was for competitive analysis of all things. I was actually
Interesting.
on the road, and the concept of Cloud Insights came up, and we were just coming out with a customer, and the customer was like, well, how does it differentiate from Datadog or all these other things? And the SC I was with put him in, got out this wonderful talking points thing, and we went back and had a conversation with the customer that was very, I would say,
Wow.
objective. And I was like, wow,
That is remarkable.
how is that?
Remarkable. Yeah. It is the practical applications are feeling more attainable. And I think maybe it's utility AI that it's less about the big brother and it doing all of the things and more about how can I augment my own capabilities. And as I've explored it for my own use, to get started with an idea. You have an idea and you want to start. I need you to take it a little, make it a little bit more full. It really helps going from a bullet or two to something a little bit more elaborate. It's helpful for that, and it helps with the ideation process in that sense. It can flesh out some
Completely
ideas
agree.
quickly. Yeah, I
And
found it helpful in
like in
those
this case
contexts.
too, help you with talking points. And I would
Yeah.
argue, I really found this use case interesting because the dynamics behind competitive analysis is constantly changing. I mean, if you're going to rely on somebody in the back room to do an analysis and then get it all looking good and grammar and make it presentable
Yes.
and send it out, you're talking weeks.
Yeah.
We're talking being able to take some feeds, just I don't want to say real time, but much faster. To really get to salient points of differentiations or what have you. And I think that, at least for me, when I'm in the field, you want those answers. You want to come back and go and hand somebody a glossy, right? You want to be able
Right.
to So I think in applications where it helps, like to your point, it facilitates, it helps us be better in our jobs and what we're doing. It helps get us information more relevant and much faster. And I would argue too, in a more meaningful way.
Agreed. Yeah. And it feels like there are some more clear delineations of where it can be used and where it can be used effectively. I think the examples that always came to mind were, well, let's look at self-driving cars, or hey, let's look at in the healthcare space, reading x-rays, you know, it's sort of maybe more yes. machine learning than true AI sorts of workloads or use cases. And then, you know, so using it as a tool in a variety of different places, can we figure out how to improve our manufacturing processes by letting the machines listen to the way that a weld occurs? That's a fun one in my head, because it seems to have a bit more general applicability to a wider variety of places. There aren't,
yes.
not every organization is interested in building a self-driving car. Like that's not
right,
a thing.
Right.
So can we stop talking about that use case? Yeah. And then, the chatbot generalization seemed to be one where it sort of had some momentum and people were like, oh geez, automated chatbots. This feels like automated phone trees all over again. I think we've mentioned that before. We can say we're doing AI because we have a chatbot, and it's, you know, like that's painful. You really try to extract value in meaningful ways. That's probably not the first place to do it, unless you want to create more customer frustration because you've done it wrong, right? Like there's a certain amount of that you run into. Certainly I have in my personal life where you run into a
AI
chatbot and you're like, why?
The cold calling. You get the cold calling AI. And all you have to do it is ask, you know, an irrelevant question, and it gets all confused.
Yeah.
You immediately know it's an AI thing. So got to your point, though. I think it to me, it's exactly the same conversation as the cloud was. You have to define what it is, and then what does it mean to you, and then how do you use that appropriately? You don't just randomly go off and adopt it in the six different ways because your peer over there is doing it. You have to figure out really where you're going to get value. And then figure out then, is it the right place for the values, the right level of investment, and does it have a place in your future? That's just where I think about the competitive advantage. That's a very difficult area to do, and it seems like it's a seamless transition into that can really give us huge value for what I would argue would be a minimal investment in what we've already done.
Agreed. And as we see large language models becoming something that you can license, adopt for internal use, and leverage, and not having to build out your own engine to train a large language model, right? And all of the compute resources that are required to do that, you can use a large language model that's got, by and large, most of the constructs in place, and now you can give it your organization specific data and help it, let it mine for you some of the value out of that data, help you have more valuable constructs from that data and more relevant to your organization.
Yeah,
so that,
yeah.
that feels then, like a great pathway, right? Where here's how you can get started.
And it was interesting. So yesterday, Emma came and spoke from Brand, came and spoke to IT. And I think it was a very interesting conversation about, you know, where does NetApp play in this space? And if you think about everything you just said, it's about accessing data and accessing data in a very meaningful way, in a constructive way. And basically the value that we bring to the conversation is we can enable that data anywhere a customer needs it, right? And having it was funny because I was looking at our own architecture. We do stuff on-prem, we do stuff on the cloud. Having that seamless ability to have that data traverse those areas, stay relevant in those areas, I think is a very powerful architecture to build to facilitate such a tool.
Absolutely. Getting the data adjacent is a huge deal. And when you think about ways that people get started, I talked about licensing an LLM from a provider. Yeah. One of the other things is to use the LLMs that are available in the cloud, or use the AI compute engines that are present from the various cloud providers. Well, you can't do anything until you start training a model, and you can't do that unless you give it some data. So how do I get my data effectively to my compute for the AI work? And NetApp is particularly good at that kind of work. And certainly there's a part of that that's bringing it back. So, you know, as we start, as an organization starts exploring AI, let's get some of our data cloud adjacent. Let's explore it and see if we can extract some value out of this. And then if it does look like it's extracted, we're able to extract some value, let's get some things back on site and let's try and repeat that on premises after we buy some compute capability from NVIDIA, for example, to help us build our own models. So
Exactly.
that work stream is there and present, and implemented and augmented by Netta. And in particular, I think about the data scientists and how expensive they are for organizations. I want to
Oh, yeah.
understand how to extract value from data. I need a data scientist to help me do that. How do I keep them busy all the time? And that's one of the things that NetApp is particularly good at, which is, as we've talked about, the idea of cloning data sets and saying, well, okay, we want to train with these sorts of assumptions in mind with this 100 terabyte data set. We have these other ideas that we also want to train. Do we now copy our
Right.
100 terabyte data set? Well, if I can just give you a clone instantly, it's tremendously powerful. So the way that we built that into the data scientist toolkits and made it really simple to say, I want to create a new thing in my Jupyter notebook or whatever, like that is makes life really, really easier for that group of folks.
I love it. I love it. Although, you know, who would have thought, you know, sitting here in 2023, we'd be talking about cloning an AI
I
in a
know,
single
right?
conversation.
Yeah, and you'd be thinking about how our competitors still can't do this stuff well, right? You'd think by now they would figure out how to do this as efficiently and effectively as we have, and reliably, right? That is a key piece to the puzzle
I think it's
here.
really cool. And I think you had made the comment about the hype cycle. Hype is becoming rowdy very, very quickly, which is really cool. That, you know, we lived in, it felt like for me, we lived years with really trying to figure out what cloud meant, right? And how to struggle with that. I feel like we're beyond the struggle phase to your earlier point that we are actually looking for really meaningful use cases for us to invest in. So
Yeah, I think that analogy to cloud is really powerful, and it is. I think there have been lessons learned in the cloud journey, and that has accelerated our ability to leverage AI. Boy, is it? It is top of mind everywhere, and you hear it. You can't read anything without seeing AI get mentioned. Usually without adequate context
right. Well,
or an actual, adequate description of value.
and for people like us in the field, it's coming up in almost every conversation. So we should be able to prepare to talk about it. We should be proud that we are doing it ourselves and leveraging our own technology to do so. And we're finding meaningful ways to apply it very, I would argue, very early on. And it just, like I said, it gives the feel that it's going to mature quicker in some areas as we experiment and be surprised by where it's being adopted in others.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I
Do
don't
you
know
want
how
to
much
shift
we.
gears?
But yeah, sure. Let's absolutely shift some gears.
Because the other, so AI, you know, comes up in conversations. It's funny how this ESG, along with the continued cloud journey that most people are on, and a lot of people are coming both to a realization that a hybrid's the right model. A lot of people come to the conclusion that, you know, all cloud models there. But if you have a data center, the tr transition. The goal is to shrink your data center as you're moving to the cloud, and ultimately, if you're staying in the cloud, staying in a data center, have a very small but very robust private cloud. And the conversation's constantly turning to, you know, the best solution obviously is Flash, and Flash for a long time has been very expensive, and people really looked at it for a performance reason. And now with capacity Flash, that's changing the whole conversation, and people are really starting to understand and see value that. Spinning disks, their power consumptions, they take more care in feeding, and everybody wants to, whatever part their journey is, really to make their data center that they have far more robust and far more reliable. Are you seeing that in the field? What are you hearing from our
Absolutely.
partners?
Oh my gosh, yes. Capacity Flash really does a wonderful job of giving customers the capabilities that Flash offers from a performance improvement, albeit not as significant an improvement as TLC drives, but the QLC capacity flash drives are better than what they had from spinning media. And because you can leverage all of the storage efficiencies, you're not asking spindles to do all of this work to do data reduction, and you're also not trying to, preload the controllers with a whole bunch of memory to do that compression and data reduction type work. That really enables a tremendous reduction in footprint and power and cooling. And the capacities that you have on the capacity flash drives are remarkable. So NetApp is, you know, 15.3 terabyte NVMe QLC flash modules are what we're about in our capacity flash systems, either the all flash variety with a unified approach from a protocol perspective, or an all SAN array. So we have the all flash SAN array that also offers capacity flash. We have a capacity flash version and a TLC version that allows customers who have SAN workloads that they're trying to take advantage of some flash technology and shrink the footprint, and they don't need any filer or object protocols. The ASA is a tremendous asset for those organizations. So we see that in the field. There's a lot of excitement. It is one of the most quickly adopted products in NetApp's history. The AFFC series and the ASAC series, they just, customers are finding,
it feels like it's flying off the shelf.
it really is. Yeah, tremendous products. They solve a clear problem. And one of the interesting things around sustainability is, you know, hey, this reduction in cooling and power, it's nice when you look at the dollars and cents behind it. We've seen some loose numbers around, you know, $15,000, $20,000 a year in power and cooling. If we're talking about around half a petabyte of data from spinning to going to capacity flash with storage efficiencies. So, you know, it's not a tiny amount of money, but in the scheme of a corporation, maybe it's not that big a deal, or maybe the power and cooling, it comes from a different budget. And what I found interesting in the field was a customer saying, hey, it's not about the $16,000. It's about my cost avoidance of building another data center. And that to me is just,
you're getting more space. You're doing more with less.
Yes. Well, the green benefits there on both dollars, you know, a multi-million dollar data center build out doesn't need to happen. And also green in terms of the concrete that's not being poured, the copper wires that aren't being pulled. It's significant. It's a good thing. Feel good story all the way around, if you ask me.
Yep. I think it's wonderful. I mean, it's interesting to see, you know, we've always played in the SAN space, but it's funny how, for whatever reason, this now finally really resonates with customers that not only do we play in this space, but we dominate this space.
So. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I found it another interesting anecdote from the field, which NetApp IT probably doesn't identify with too much because we don't have SAN-based systems internally, right? We've always been sort of unified.
We have a good chunk of them. Yeah, it's just not
SAN only, where they're just fiber channel only. Oh, okay, not in your department. Gotcha. Yeah, so what I found interesting in talking to some of the customers was that there are people process issues around using a unified array for SAN workloads. And it was like, what do you mean? But block protocols are block protocols. This is absurd. Well, the way that we do unified protocol, we have an active controller that's servicing workloads on a SAN LUN. So all NetApp systems are active controllers. That's just, let me make sure that that's clear to everybody.
Right. But
the way that the paths work on a LUN, you have one controller with active optimized paths and another controller with active non-optimized paths. So sorry for anyone who's not nerdy and has tuned out already, but in the SAN space, a lot of our customers, when they see an active non-optimized path, to them, that's a controller downstate, and they will issue a support ticket. Like, it's just all of these automatic things happen when they see an active non-optimized path.
Right.
And these are things that, like, they're not going to change their processes to accommodate a unified storage solution. Whereas with the ASA, you drop it in, all of the paths are active optimized paths from both controllers in the system. Those alerts don't happen. And that objection goes away. And now you can focus on the scale up, scale out benefits of ONTAP in an all SAN environment, the cloud connectivity potential for some of those customers, just the general goodness that NetApp offers, as well as a really compelling price. So that's been one of the other areas where we've just been dominating with this product, because we're able to offer a tremendous amount of value in a customer budget friendly package.
Very customer budget friendly. And to your point, I think that also is a big, creates all the buzz too, because it's both a great product at a great price. Yep. Yeah. And comes with all the reliability of all of our other products I've always brought. So,
yeah, in fact, on the ASAs, if we're talking about the all SAN array side of things, the availability guarantee that we offer, so 6.9's guaranteed, is really powerful. And we've got, you know, commentary from customers who are, yeah, I deployed a FlexPod 6 years ago, and I've had zero downtime in 6 years. That is
that's the way
amazing.
It's supposed to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so wonderful to see us stand behind that with a guarantee, along with our storage efficiency guarantees and a lot of the other fun things.
Two very exciting topics and closing out a very impactful
Oh my
year.
goodness. Yes, indeed. The number of platforms that we introduced this year, the number of technology improvements that we've announced this year, it is remarkable. From AFFC series capacity flash at the beginning of the year, and then the middle of the year we brought in the ASA A series, and then last couple of months we brought out the ASA C series. Just tremendous opportunities for customers to take advantage of NetApp goodness, from the smallest systems to the largest. Yeah, that's one of the beautiful pieces of NetApp. The new
Going out
unified,
with the
as we
roar
talked
this year.
about. Yeah, yes,
Calendar
yes.
year with the roar.
You're
Well,
not kidding.
Stefan, it's always a pleasure chatting with you.
Likewise.
Really hope you have a great holiday season. Hope all of our viewers have a great holiday season. And like we always say, like, subscribe, comment, please. Tell us what you'd like us to talk about. We'd love to hear from you.
Yes, indeed. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays, everybody.
Happy holidays.
Merry Christmas, Matt. Take care.